Hey, did you say, Mark, it's your turn to sing?
You want.
You don't want. Okay. Good morning. Happy New Year. Isn't it great? I told some friends I feel like I'm living in the future. And they say, what do you mean by that? I say, well, I'm from 1950, and when I was a kid, anything in the 2000s was like the future, the distant future. I mean, after 50 years old, I'm going to be really old, you know. Jesus was born on Christmas Day, they say, and he died on Good Friday. What about his childhood? There are only two episodes recorded, and they're recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And one was when he was a little baby. And then there's only one story about his childhood. There's a summary verse here in chapter 2 of Luke 2 and verse 40, which summarizes and says, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Grew, the child grew from tiny to big, from weak to strong, from inarticulate to discerning and able to speak his mind. And the grace of God, verse 40, the grace of God was over all. The grace of God was reflected in his person. What does that mean to you? I mean, how do you understand that? I'd say he was a helpful boy. He was kind to little children and to animals. He was respectful to his elders. He was truthful. He played fair. He was a good loser when he was playing games. He was a modest winner. I don't know. How do you imagine? How do you imagine in a boy, in a child, the grace of God was over all? Certainly was obedient to his parents. That's the fifth commandment. Let's go on, verse 41. Luke 2, 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. So this was a pious family. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16 says that all the men, Israelites, were obligated to go up to the temple in Jerusalem for three annual feasts. Well, this man, Joseph and Mary, they got the kids ready and went up. They had a big family, in case you didn't know. And it's a challenge to have all those little noses wiped and go to the meeting. Well, they went up to Jerusalem every year, as their custom was. You know, personally, I'm so thankful that my folks took me to meeting in a banana box in back of the Jeep. When I was a little kid, that's what they told me anyway. What do they call those little rocky chairs for a kid? Well, mine was a banana box anyway. Thank the Lord, you know. That was my first impressions, was the meetings, Sunday school, prayer meeting, anytime the chapel was open. Anyway, in Jerusalem at the annual festivals, there was a lot of fun. There was music. There were choirs that practiced year-round and specially gave their programs with full instrumentation at these festivals, at these three annual festivals. There were solemn processions. There was assembly. There was scripture reading. There was food and festivities, and you'll rejoice in my presence, it says in the book of the law. There Joseph and Mary would meet up with old friends and make new friends, and their oldest boy, Jesus, was so well behaved that they didn't worry much about him. Verse 43. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they missed him, I'm sure they suffered a panic attack. And Mary says, the Lord delivered this baby when he was even tiny. We went off as fugitives, refugees to Egypt, and missed that massacre in Bethlehem. And now we've gone and lost him. I just imagine what you felt. We have an experience in our own personal family history once we lost Jerry in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. That quarter hour of angst is forever etched in our memory. Panic. And Mary and Joseph had 3 days of searching for Jesus and 3 sleepless nights. Can you imagine thinking, where is he? He's under a bridge somewhere. Somebody's taken him away. Awful, awful experience. Verse 45. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" When they found him finally in the temple, Mary's reaction speaks for her heart. Her astonishment, maybe not so much impressed at the brilliant sparring with the top biblical minds of the day. Joseph might have been impressed, but I suspect Mary was just shocked, surprised at Jesus' apparent disregard for her anguish. How could he do this to her? Well, on the one hand, humanly speaking, it was typical of a 12-year-old boy. I remember sometimes in Camiri we'd go out for chicken dinner at a Greasy Spoon place. And across the street were the video arcades. Remember the arcades? Anyway, our boys would say, "Dad, while they're getting the chicken ready, we'll just be over there for a minute to see what they're doing." And fine. But you know, when the chicken got ready, we could call. They would never hear us. We could go over to the door and wave and call, and they wouldn't see us. We had to go and touch them on the shoulder, turn their head, and say, "Hello, your name is Jerry. I'm your dad." Because they didn't remember who they were or who they belonged to or where they were or anything. Typical of 12-year-old boys. But, you know, in this case, Jesus was not distracted. He was not off track. Somehow, if anyone here fouled it up, it was Joseph and Mary. He wasn't lost for a minute from his point of view. And his point of view is the right one because he's God. Maybe Joseph and Mary forgot momentarily, but Jesus never forgot who he was and where he was and what he was there for. He was on the beam. Mary uses the word father in verse 48, as you noticed. And Jesus uses the word father in verse 49. And it's not the same person. Another thought, what did it mean for a provincial schoolboy to be allowed just for a couple of precious days to participate in the elite rabbinic schools in the temple in Jerusalem? I wonder if Nicodemus was there, or maybe Joseph of Arimathea, or Gamaliel. I don't know who the great rabbis were. Then maybe Saul of Tarsus was one of the pupils. Who knows? Later on he says, now we do not know Jesus according to the flesh anymore. I don't know. Maybe he, you know, had some encounter with him in their childhood or their youth. But what must they have talked about? We don't know. But I just wonder if they discussed the coming of the Messiah or the signs of the times. And the Lord Jesus later on in a discourse in Luke chapter 12, he said, you're pretty bright, you know, forecasting the weather and so on. Of course, they're a lot better at it nowadays. But he says there's enough data there, you should be able to know right where we are in God's plan, you know, and like Daniel's 70 weeks, and this is the day that the Lord hath made, and all that. But they don't get it. They didn't get it. Maybe Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were the only ones that did, because they threw care to the winds when they took down a corpse and handled a dead body on the eve of a great holy day, you know. But they, you know, they decided it was worth it, that this was God's, you know, God's plan. But most people didn't get it, didn't get it at all. The grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon this boy, Jesus. And I just try to imagine what it would be like to be in a Bible study group with Jesus. We're talking about the Bible. He's the author. Everybody else can just be quiet. We've got the last word here. We don't have to discuss anything. But the grace of God was upon him. How do you think he may have answered another boy who disagreed with him? How do you think he reacted if one of the venerable rabbis was way off base? The grace of God was upon him. Well, mostly he was just listening and asking questions. And you know, one can lead the discussion by just asking questions. Now, that was the Greek philosopher's method of teaching. You know? And when the masters were stuck on some question, the question would come around again to him. You know? And then, voila, verse 47, everyone was amazed at his answers. He's remembered to this day as the master teacher. How intriguing to see him in the role of student, as a student. But there again, I think that brief experience must have been a dream come true for the boy from Nazareth. Now I wonder, as I read this account, did Mary and Joseph miss something? Maybe the last time they saw Jesus as they headed out for the bazaars and the grilled meat. And I didn't know if Mary was going for the bazaars and Joe was going for the grilled meat. But you know, that was a fun place. That was a happening place. You don't think of a temple like this, you know, one roof. The temple was like more like a mall. There was all these porches and appendages, and it was big. Big place, and surrounded on the outside with the kitchens and the grilled meat. And anyway, maybe as they were in their hurry to get on with the party, you know, now that the religious part's over, well, Jesus was gravitating to that study group, you know, that Bible study, those school of the rabbis. And maybe he called over his shoulder, I'll be here for a while. Don't look for me anywhere else. I just can't imagine Jesus treating his mother cruelly. And where had they been searching for him anyway? I don't know. Go back to the places where they spent the night and so on. I don't know. What was there, maybe some problem with human trafficking or something? Maybe they were checking all the the buses that were leaving for caravans that were leaving for different parts, you know, different countries and seeing, did he, is somebody carrying him away? I don't know what. But they were looking all over the place, except here, where they should have been looking, obviously, according to Jesus. But in any case, if Jesus ever got a spanking, it was a mistake because the Bible says he never sinned. Well, that's a strange kid. So he never did anything to dishonor his earthly parents. He can't be blamed for causing them undue grief. Well, I know I'm adding to the scripture a little bit, but I learned that from Frank Haggerty, you know, a little bit of inspired imagination. All the stories in the Bible are pared down, summaries of what happened. It tells us just what we need to know. But can you imagine how the fat the Bible would be if it told everything? John 21 and verse 25 says, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. But I'm sure there's more to this story. This brief vignette is all we get about Jesus' boyhood. So take it from there. But isn't it awesome? Awesome to picture Emmanuel. Which means? Right there in the place where God had promised to dwell. Isn't it awesome to see the Word of God in the flesh handling the inspired Word of God? Verse 50 and 51. But they did not understand. Joseph and Mary did not understand what he was saying to them. There's probably a book could be written about that. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. It's even more surprising to see him, the eternal Son, place himself in subjection to fallible earthly parents. There again, they may have momentarily forgotten who he was, but he never did. How could Jesus possibly have obeyed two sinful people? And I beg your apologies and your understanding if we have any Catholics here today. Mary herself said, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. She recognizes herself as a sinner when she says, God, my Savior. And that's why I say, with biblical basis, how could Jesus possibly have obeyed two sinful people? Well, the answer to that is only within the will of God. It's like a Christian wife. Maybe her husband's not even a believer, but she submits herself to him as unto the Lord. So it's within the will of God. Like when family responsibilities conflict with ministry responsibilities, and you say, there's a tension. And those that have been active in the Lord's work or as elders in the church, they know what I'm talking about. And how can these conflicts be resolved? Only in the will of God, because the family and the church and the extension of the gospel, it's all God's work. It's all part of the same. Well, Jesus dealt with that tension too. As a son in Joseph and Mary's home, he learned obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says, he learned obedience, and I'm sure that those three little words apply to a whole lot more than just learning obedience as a 12-year-old boy and as a teenager and all that. Verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus never called Mary mother? You don't find that anywhere in any of the Gospels. But the Holy Spirit did. He says here, his mother treasured all these things. Treasured all these things. Not simply didn't forget these things. No, she treasured them. She hoarded them. She collected them. It's just like in a fragrant cedar box lined with black velvet. She opens this box. Years later, this historian comes, Dr. Luke. He says, tell me about how he was born. Tell me about what happened when he was a kid. Tell me about it. And she opens her box of memories, her treasure box. And she says, let me show you this little beauty. Luke, I'm sure, saw her face light up, saw her eyes tear up as she lovingly lifted out one jeweled treasure after another for him to admire. And she would say, oh, my baby, my boy, my savior, my God. What an experience. What an experience. What a treasure. Verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And Jesus grew. Adam was created full grown, but Jesus, the Son of God, omnipotent creator, could not conceivably have grown any stronger if you're omnipotent. No, the omniscient one could not possibly learn anything that he didn't already know. He who is very God of very God, like it says in is that the Westminster Confession? Or the Apostles' Creed, he was very God of very God. How could he grow in favor with God? I'm throwing these questions out. I don't have the answer. If you think you have the answer, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think so. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9 says that God's servants must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. And in Spanish it says, God's servants must guardar the misterios of the faith. It kind of gives another angle. Put them away. Tuck them away. Guard the mysteries of the faith. If you think you got it all figured out, if you have gone into some type of theology that has it all packaged, I feel sorry for you, because there are mysteries here. We stand in awe, speechless, head bowed, sandals off. And last, and least, verse 52, and in favor with men. Jesus grew perfectly developed social graces. He was polite, he was respectful, he was courteous, he was punctual, he was, as Americans would say, clean cut. No? But he was not a man pleaser. He was not a man pleaser. He was not always politically correct. And I won't develop that anymore. But let's follow his steps. Thank you so much for giving me this passage. I have greatly enjoyed mulling over it and thinking what it must have been like for God to become a person and to grow up as a boy, and to be an adolescent. What a difficult time, you know, adolescent. That means they're in pain. But the Lord Jesus went through all those stages of life as God, as man. Loving God, we bow in your presence. We are amazed at what the Lord Jesus did in the flesh. And as we remembered his body this morning in the bread, just his life, the incarnation, and the development through all these processes that he went through, we just stand amazed and we bow before you. We want to follow in his steps. And now I would particularly ask you that the Holy Spirit would apply this story, just the telling of the story, to the hearts of boys who are here this morning, and girls too, and all of us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.